This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on advisory for OTT platforms, ensuring responsible streaming. The participants are Gautam Chintamani, film critic, and Ashish Kumar Pandey, advocate, Supreme Court. The moderator is Niharika Bhuvania.
Good evening and welcome to Current Affairs. This evening, we apprise you of the latest developments as regards a content advisory issued to OTT platforms by the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting, which comes after much public debate and references received from honorable members of the Parliament and various statutory organizations as well. I'm Niharika Bhuvania, your moderator, and first and foremost, let me welcome our guests for today, Supreme Court Advocate Ashish Kumar Pandey and historian and film critic Gautam Chintamani. Good evening and thank you so much for joining us on Current Affairs today.
Good evening, Niharika, and good evening to all the listeners.
So I think we can dive into the conversation right away. And in the light of the recent debate surrounding an OTT show, let's begin with the most obvious question. Do you see a requirement for this advisory in the first place? Ashish, if you can come in first and if you can, share your thoughts on this.
We are having this conversation in the context of a recent controversy, which has somehow ignited the entire social media space. And now we can feel that heat in the corridors of Supreme Court as well, in the Parliament corridors of Parliament as well. So the situation is we have some regulatory framework which is directed towards not exactly regulating, but somehow ensuring that there is a self-regulation as far as the content on online platforms, including OTT platforms, are concerned. What have been felt over the years, that self-regulatory mechanism is somehow not fetching the desired result. And the recent controversy is the glaring example in that regard. It has been felt that there may be certain changes in the law itself. And I believe that the recent directives which have been issued by the ministry to the OTT platforms is a step in that direction.
Right. I think that's a very valid point that self-regulation is probably not doing what it needs to. So, Gautam, are you in agreement with that or do you have a slightly different take?
I'm in complete agreement with what has been said here because this advisory, to my mind, comes as a wake-up call. This is a crucial step towards reinforcing responsible commitment from India's, digital operators. The concern raised is regarding content which has been put out there, and that has been happening for a little while. So, I think OTT platforms and their regulatory bodies must lead by example, and that is not happening. So this clearly indicates the need for such an advisory. And I think that, it also warrants people to take greater stock of what is being peddled in the name of content on OTT platforms and the internet in general, because honestly, if you ask me, the rules are in place, but it's not working out. And the internet and social media, both, they remain relatively nascent in terms of regulation, particularly moderation and self-censorship. So I think this is a much needed step, and I think we should take this to the next level as well.
So basically, if I can put it in just one line, accountability and being responsible about the content that you put out is really the question here, right? Now, in the light of that, so the advisory has two major components. One is that the platforms need to ensure they do not transmit illegal content. And second, right, the need is for content to be classified as per age. So, speaking of the legality of it, Ashish, broadly, what kind of content can you classify as legal or illegal, given there are so many varieties of content? There are chat shows, documentaries, storytelling formats, fiction, nonfiction.
Right. Niharika, when we talk about illegality of any content, the very plain language says that whatever is prohibited by law is illegal. Mm-hmm. And if it's not prohibited by law, then you can term it as legal or it may fall into gray zone. So when we say some content is illegal, it means that it must be prohibited under either one or two laws which are governing Indian landscape vis-a-vis the content which we are discussing here. You see, we have Bharati Nyaya Sanhita, we have Protection of Children from Sexual Offences Act, there is one Indecent Representation of Women Act. So there are so many laws which regulate the contents regarding how you can portray women or children or any other aspect of a social behavior. And if anything which falls within the definition of something which is prohibited under these laws, so that will be termed as illegal. Now, the question is where to draw lines. This is the more pertinent question in today's context. Recently, when the matter came up before the Supreme Court, the Honorable Court observed if whatever comments were made by that podcaster, so if those comments are not obscene, then what can be classified as obscene? Somehow, these illegalities have to be interpreted in line with the morality of the society of the time. So all these things will take you to a position where you can say this content may fall within the domain of something which is prohibited under the law. And then this is something which the society can bear up to a certain extent because this falls within a gray zone. And then there are certain things, as you said, that there may be other contents which are not so illegal. They are using the plain simple things which are happening in our society. So that contents need not to be regulated. So you see, it's a very important aspect of this entire discussion is why we adopted for this self-regulatory mechanism. Because as far as the obscenity is concerned, the illegality of these acts are concerned, that is always open for interpretation. There may be certain instances that you cannot represent a woman in a very obscene position or a very pornographic position, but then there may be certain representations which may be interpreted as obscene, but from certain point of view, that may not be interpreted as obscene, considering the societal norms. So this is why we have adopted a self-regulatory mechanism. When we talk about self-regulatory mechanism, it means that government is not going to tell you what is right or what is wrong. If there is any complaint, you yourself decide. If you feel that that is obscene or that is illegal, you please remove it from your page. And if you are not acting on that thing and the complainant is still aggrieved, then there are certain other labels where he can approach, and then the question may be open for interpretation. The original complaint is valid or not.
Right. So as I understand it, it's also about a lot of personal discretion, more importantly, discernment. And also on top of that, the advisory is not to, you know, put controls in place or control any platform as such, but just to, you know, facilitate that kind of discernment, right?
Right. What we have done in India, we have provided three-tier mechanism for self-regulation. There are 2021 rules, IT rules, and under those rules, there is ethic code. So under that ethic codes, what we have talked about is every company, every OTT platform, they have that redressal mechanism. Let's say I'm watching a show on Netflix and I find that something is somehow offending my concept of morality. So I must have a platform, I would say an office within the office of Netflix, that they can entertain my complaint and they must adjudicate on that thing whether my complaint is justified or not. So God is not going to tell you at the first stage. The company itself is required, if they have received any complaint, they have to decide whether that complaint is valid or not. Then if they are not somehow redressing my grievance, then we have another mechanism where a retired Supreme Court judge's body may entertain my complaint. And on the basis of that, that body can pass a judgment. That body can direct that particular platform to remove that content or not. And if that is not possible, even if I'm aggrieved from the order passed by that body, then there are certain other mechanisms which are at the very highest level. So this is three-tier mechanism we are talking about, and the starting of that mechanism is self-regulation.
Thank you so much for sharing that three-tier mechanism. I think that was, to understand this entire thing, we really needed that perspective. Now, Gautam, I would like to bring in you here for the second part of the advisory, which says that content should be classified as per age. So now again, extending the same question to you in terms of different formats, in terms of different kinds of content, you know, how easy or difficult is it to classify this content as per age? And also to cite the example of the censor board. So they're dealing with a different kind of content. It probably is a little easier to certify films or to, you know, say this kind of content is A or this kind of content is UA. But how does one do that in terms of OTT?
It's not easy to certify films also, but because there is a tried and tested mechanism in place, irrespective of its flaws or shortcomings, you know, because if you ask creative people, they'll say that their creativity is being curbed. If you ask the censor board, then they would say that they are going as per what the rule of the land is. So it's not particularly easy to certify any content because there seeps in a sense of morality. But you are just following the letter of the law. In that aspect, I think self-regulation will play a very big role when it comes to OTT, because the whole idea of OTT is that you don't need to censor anything. You don't need to certify anything as of right now. That is the reason why we see a lot of content which can be problematic, troublesome, right on the face of it, passes off in the name of creativity. Take a recent example. Today, if you were to make a period drama, a film set in a time where cigarette smoking or the horrors of tobacco were not as openly known as they are today. If you were to make a period drama or in 2025, cinema format, you may not be able to show what is the reality of that. And then the censor board will be challenged by the creative person by saying, but this is what the reality of that time was. So there is a very fine line where at the end of the day, the responsibility of the person who's consuming this material and the responsibility of the person who's producing this content comes at fore. And I think the whole issue which has been raked up now, which has led to this advisory coming out, had there been, I won't even say a more robust, a regular self-regulation in place, then the kind of people involved in that comedy show or whatever you may want to call it, speaks volumes about the fact that you feel that this content will not be seen by your core audience. Because you're not on television, you're not in cinema, you're not in, you know, on a platform where your parents or your people known to you will see this content, you behave in a very different manner. But you're still the same person. So in that aspect, if you ask me when it comes to certification and when it comes to OTT and how do we certify content or how do we make sure that certain content is not being consumed by a demography which is not meant to consume that, that will become very difficult because you cannot stop this monster known as OTT or social media or internet. In fact, we are quite late in putting out kind of framework that regulates it. If you start today, it's much better than starting tomorrow. So it will be very difficult, but I don't think it's impossible if the sense of self-regulation comes into effect. And that is only going to come into effect if your regulatory bodies or if your law is strong enough when it comes to repercussions for breaking the law. That is the biggest problem. We can make as many laws as we want, but if the people are not willing to follow it, then you can't do anything about it. For example, we have seen so many times when you go to see a film which is certified adults only, you have children coming in with their parents and parents are fighting with the cinema hall people that, you know, where are we going to leave our children? It's a collective responsibility. And all, again, I go back to the same point, it starts at the idea of self-regulation. And you only need to have laws which have some kind of reprimand for serial people who break these rules serially.
I think that's a great observation, actually, you know, how audience behavior changes with the medium that you're on. So be it a cinema hall or be it the television in your drawing room or, you know, in this case, OTT screens, which I think are also highly personalized, right? So you would be using a device like a mobile or a laptop, which you would probably be using in isolation as compared to the others. But then, you know, talking about self-regulation, again, it's a collective responsibility. So is it mandated by every OTT platform to have a self-regulatory body? And if yes, then what's the composition of these bodies like? I'd like a comment from both of you on this. So Ashish, if you could go first, and then Gautam, we'll hear it from you.
As the law is concerned, it's very clear. Any OTT platform, other platforms like YouTube or other media platforms, they are required to have grievance redressal mechanism within their company. And so the question which is very much important in this debate is, as Manoj rightly pointed out, in today's age, you see everyone is very well connected with the internet and everything is, every information is available to you in just a couple of seconds. So up to what extent prohibitory orders will be effective as far as, you know, the spread of obscene content or pornographic content is concerned. So that's why the role of self-regulation is very much important, not only in the context of legal requirement for such platforms, but even though family, institution of family is concerned as well. It was being discussed that even if the film is rated A, we find the parents fighting with security guards, that why you are not allowing my children to watch the movie, even when you can watch that movie online. There may be some pirated copy of that movie, which is available on mobile devices. So what is the utility of having such laws? At the end of the day, you see, the responsibility of the government is to fulfill its constitutional mandates, to fulfill its other obligations, legal obligations. So just because of the fact that certain content may be available even otherwise, irrespective of whether there is any regulation or not, that does not mean that the government should not provide a very comprehensive legal checks and balances to somehow curb the spread of such content. Now, you see, what is happening in today's is we have dark web, we have certain websites, we have VPNs. So there are n number of ways to bypass those somehow the hurdles which may be created towards the consuming of such content. But at the end of the day, we need those laws where we can somehow check the at least the commercial aspect of such activities. You know, why this obscene content is being spread so fast and it has become the topic of hot debate? Because the human nature works in such a way that whatever is negative or because of the psychological factor, because of the other factors, these contents, they somehow attract the young mind very easily. And when we start commercializing on those things, then it becomes problematic because that spreads like a wildfire. So that's why the laws are very important and we need to have a very robust legal framework to curb all these things.
Understood. And Gautam, what would your take be on this?
See, I think it's not like it's one-sided. The advisory actually emphasizes proactive content moderation to avoid censorship, you know, I mean, in many ways. So it's not like you're curbing somebody's creativity or you're not allowing people to access information. And like my fellow panelists just said that there is so much out there that you don't even know where it ends. So how will you control it? What is going to be at the end of the day if people end up going up in arms saying that this is something that they want in terms of content? Because the producers will always tell you that the backlash is not that bad. The feedback is very good. People are consuming this. That is why we are making it. But at the end of the day, people also are limited for choice when it comes to content. The internet may have opened up the entire world in more ways than imaginable. But at the end of the day, there is only a certain number of amount that people can consume. And the faster or the quicker it reaches you in terms of popularity makes all the difference. So I think somewhere we keep coming back to the same argument that yes, at the end of the day, if there is a consumer, there will always be a product to fill that market need. But that doesn't mean that anything goes and everything goes. And I think that there needs to be a greater content regulation. And I'm choosing my words very carefully. It may sound as a euphemism for censorship, but be that as it may, I think that in a country like ours, where the demography, almost 65% of this country is under the age of 25, and we have the cheapest data pricing anywhere in the world, and our consumer base is increasing. We are the second largest mobile manufacturing country. So you can imagine the amount of electronics and goods available to people there. And we are market leaders in many ways. So a lot of people will end up consuming stuff which otherwise may have been problematic for platforms. And over a period of time, it may gain some sort of acceptance. So I think stricter action needs to be taken to people who break these laws. The laws are very clear. Like Ashish was mentioning a while ago, that what do you constitute as illegal? Anything which is not allowed by the government of India or the law of the land is illegal. But open the internet today and you have so much of access. And you will always be fighting a bigger evil in a country like India, where the updating of the Cinematograph Act had so many hurdles and roadblocks and obstacles, and not unwarranted. Some of them are actually needed. But the longer you take to frame these laws, because you want to keep everybody happy and you want to come across as a just body, which is actually the case in many instances, the internet and the world changes. So you have to keep up with a monster which is very fast, very quick. Tomorrow, if somebody, one of these people that we find offensive, starts a channel which is a subscriber-only channel, and they put into place where the content will come directly to you, it will not be on YouTube, what will you do? So you have made it very clear that self-regulation, self-censorship is something that you put greater emphasis on. And if that code is broken, then there has to be some kind of a reprimand.
In fact, you know, that brings me to two very important points. So first up, what are obscenity laws like worldwide? So let's talk about countries like Europe, US or Australia, where the population is vastly different. And second, you know, I feel that parents will play a greater role in this case, since we've been talking about self-regulation and self-discretion. So Ashish, would you like to talk to us about worldwide laws, and also how are OTT platforms governed outside of India?
Laws are nothing but just codification of logic. And the logic is defined by the societal norms which are prevalent during the time. So when we talk about Indian laws and when we talk about Western law. So there is a difference. Difference in the sense of the concept of morality or the societal norms are very different from the Western countries and the Indian. Now, in the era of globalization, obviously the lines are blurring. So whatever is available in US, even if it's blocked, can be consumed here in India using VPN. And whatever is available in India can be through social media platforms, can be accessed when you are in states, US or Europe, wherever, whichever part of the world is. If you see US laws, the states laws, they are very much flexible vis-a-vis these obscenity and other aspects are concerned. But there are certain aspects which are prohibited across the world, and those certain aspects are being regulated by, I mean, the global bodies like you and all. Especially, I would like to talk about, there are children which are being put to sexual abuse. And those kind of content are illegal, even we talk about India, Europe, or US, irrespective of the jurisdiction. But there are certain things, like whatever discussed during that comedy show, which is the context of today's debate, may be illegal in India because of certain sections of Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, IT Act. But then it may be not illegal because there is a flexibility in US to say those words and not to be violating any law. That's why we have the entire social media space has been divided into two different zones. One is talking about, although what he said is somehow cannot be accepted in Indian context because what he talked about was something very personal, fundamental relationship which is existent in our family. But at the end of the day, this regulation, this directive or any somehow we are talking about modifying or implementing additional legal framework in India. These legal frameworks should not be used to curb the freedom of expression, which is the main concern. I don't think that whatever was joked about on that YouTube show can be said that it was not obscene or illegal. But now the question is how to proceed from here. Should we have a very strict legal framework for every content which is being produced and shared on such platforms like YouTube or other OTT platforms, then certainly we should not move towards that direction. Especially in this context, I would like to talk about what is the constitutional framework for this. You see, our Indian constitution talks about freedom of speech and expression. So every citizen, if we don't provide our artists that creative freedom, then somehow we are curbing that constitutional right which has been given to us under Article 19. But now the point is, even that Article 19 is subject to reasonable restrictions. And when we talk about reasonable restrictions, how to define those reasonable restrictions? And when the operation of those reasonable restrictions vis-a-vis this creative content is concerned, it becomes very difficult for any judicial system or the legal framework to define very categorical line where you can say that this is not allowed and this is allowed. Obviously, there are certain things which can be categorized, but most of the thing will fall within the gray zone. That's why we have adopted the self-regulatory mechanism. So now we will see how the government is, because the notice has been issued to the government of India as well, and the government of India is planning to implement certain additional legal frameworks. So it will be very interesting to see how things are proceeding in that matter.
In fact, what's also interesting to note is that there is really no comparison with worldwide laws as well, because the fabric of our society is so different, our population is so different, and we take things differently, our relationships are so different as compared to abroad, right? So that is what is going to govern the laws as well. That is what is going to govern how we make our laws, right?
Well put, Niharika. And you see, you talked about how the self-regulation works and what is the role of parents implementing this entire thing. See, we are observing in our society, from the very early age, it has become a very adopted norm. Mobile phones have become a tool wherein our parents are somehow, they have found that this is a way to somehow satisfy the maybe other needs of that particular kid. You give them those kids mobile phones and they are watching reels again and again, and somehow parents are free to do whatever they want to do in their life. So this opens them to word of internet, and there is no check as far as what content is being used by those kids on mobile devices. So the very first thing which is required to be done is somehow this platform, I would like to suggest that instead of having YouTube normal, there is a YouTube kid app, and then there are other restrictions. I mean, let's talk about Netflix. Let's talk about a little older kids. And even in such platforms, there are settings which allow you to somehow restrict the access of A-certified contents. And even if you see that this advisory which has been issued by talks about classification of in accordance with the age-based criteria. So if a parent has somehow enabled that setting in that OTP platform, so their kids may not be in the position to access that content. So these kind of self-regulatory mechanisms have been evolved under our legal framework, and until unless there is a participation from parents' side, it becomes very difficult to actually implement these laws on ground. Niharika.
In fact, I'm so glad you brought in the role that parents play in this entire scenario, as also thank you for mentioning YouTube. Now, Gautam, I would like to come to you here. YouTube as a platform is quite interesting. And why I say that is because it is governed by both the Ministry of Information Technology and Ministry of Information and Broadcasting, right? And there is also difference in the way content is considered here. So in certain cases, for example, if I'm a makeup artist and I upload a tutorial, YouTube is considered as a social media intermediary, simply. And age classifications will not apply here. But for example, if I'm watching a movie on YouTube, in that case, it becomes a streaming platform. And here is where age classifications or age regulations will apply. So, you know, what is my responsibility as a platform to ensure that I can be profitable, I can distribute content also, and yet fulfill my responsibility of distributing that content, you know, in a responsible manner?
When you talk about YouTube, I think we have to start by making a few things clear to ourselves that platforms, be it streaming or OTT, or in this case that you mentioned YouTube, which strangely falls into multiple categories, they will always make money. They are going to fulfill certain checkboxes and then they are going to make money. The problem is not whether they fulfill the checkboxes or not. The problem is, how do you define the content here? Like, I was just hearing about how Indian or Indian ethos can be different when it comes to what is obscene or what is not right, because our family system is different, you know, our relationship system is different. All that is fine. But, you know, it's very interesting that while countries like the United States may be a little more liberal when it comes to, you know, defining what is moralistic to be censored, they can be a little more nuanced. But there is something called the Miller test, which the state of California had. If I remember, there was a case in 1970s where there is a three-step test to ascertain whether some content is offensive or not, and largely about obscenity. So it says that, is it serving the interest of people, and does it depict sexual conduct in an offensive way? Now, what is also interesting for a country like United States is that pornography is legal there. Obscenity is not. So I think what the reason for all this argument or debate that we are having, this advisory, comes because of very solid need. So I think most platforms are fulfilling the laws and the norms. That's why they are functioning, because it's very easy to, you know, put a restriction or put a ban on a channel for a day. I mean, you black out YouTube for a day or you black out Netflix for a day as a reprimand, and a very strong message goes.
Well, you know, there's still lots left to talk about in this debate, but I'm afraid there's no time left. So thank you so much for joining us this evening on Current Affairs, and it was a pleasure being in conversation.
You were listening to a discussion on advisory for OTT platforms, ensuring responsible streaming. The participants were Gautam Chintamani, film critic, and Ashish Kumar Pandey, advocate, Supreme Court. The moderator was Niharika Bhuvania. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289-094044.